Thank you. That was wonderful. Thank you so much. Okay, so I've got very little time, so I've got a lot to say, and I need to do it in a short space of time. So I'm going to start with the Word of God. Is that okay, guys? I just start with reading the Word of God, and I'm going to read from the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to be reading from verse 17 from the NLT for those of you that might be using your Bibles. So picking up at verse 17, it says, actually, can I just pray? Sorry. Can I just pray? Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence in this place. Father God, I thank you for every single person here. I thank you, Lord God, that you see each and every single one, Lord God. Father, you know their hearts. You know where they are in their journey with you right now, wherever they are, Father. And I pray by the Spirit of the living God, Father God, that you would speak directly to their hearts tonight, that you would show them, give them a revelation of your love and how real and how relevant you are to their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. So picking up from verse 17, says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ Jesus. Amen. And so the verse I want to focus on this evening is that anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person and the old has passed away. And, you know, I'm going to be sharing some of my story with you. And as you probably already picked up, I came through as a working girl and I was involved with a 125. I used it periodically and it was a great blessing to me. But that's really why I'm here, really. To support that, but also to share my story with you and how God can take a life and transform it. You know, my life is quite I come from quite a challenging background, you know, and I'm aware of how desperate and dire my life was. But the truth is that today God is offering every one of us a fresh start in him. If you think about a fresh start or a new beginning, you think about a new opportunity, a new day, old things, leaving old things behind you. And when you think about a new day or a fresh start, you know, you have the hope of something better, of something greater. And that's what God wants to offer you today. And I'm just going to talk through some of my story. I'm going to talk about what my old life was like. And then I'm going to talk about how I met Jesus. And then I'm going to talk about how that has transformed and changed my life. Is that okay? Great. Okay. So I grew up, going back right to the beginning, I grew up in quite a large family. I had five siblings. I was the eldest. I was adopted at the age of two, and I found out when I was four, and I thought it was great news. Great, I've got two mums, and I thought this was wonderful. I remember running into my mum, and I remember saying, I've got two mums. I thought it was wonderful, and my mum's reaction was one of anger, and she just walloped me across the ear, and I went flying. But I tell you, in that moment, what it did to me, it said to me, there's a sense of shame about who you are. You're not free to speak out. That's what my mum taught me by reacting in that moment. So immediately from that moment, I knew it wasn't safe to speak out. I knew it wasn't okay to be me. I didn't understand why, but I just knew it wasn't okay. And then when I was sexually abused at the age of five, you see, this just became enforced in me because, again, I had that fear of speaking out. And couldn't speak out. And so then when I was continually abused up until my early teens, and as you can imagine, as a five-year-old, this left me feeling very violated, it left me lost, left me feeling very alone and very, very confused. All I can tell you is that I was traumatized, I was in shock, and I didn't know what to do with it. And I just began to internalize it. And I guess life wasn't really cool growing up for me. Life was very dysfunctional at home. Parents were very, very broken. They didn't know how to show love. I didn't feel safe. I wasn't protected. I was subject to their mood swings and violence. And so, as you can imagine, it was very unstable. I became very insecure, and I felt very alone. I knew I didn't fit. I knew I didn't belong. It was very clear by my mum's reaction towards me that I was the odd one out. And I guess school wasn't much easier for me. As I went through school, I was bullied because we didn't have much money, so we didn't have, you know, all the newest trendy clothes, all that kind of thing. And you know, because of my abuse, I used to wet the bed. So my mum would send me to school smelling. And so kids were just cruel. So it wasn't easy growing up for me. And I know everybody's got a story, but this is just my story. So I went through school. And like I said, I was very depressed. I was very insecure as a child. And really, you know, all of that, what I've just said, just set the backdrop for what was about to come. You know, how many of you know it's so important to know that you are loved? Because to know that you are loved is to know that you are significant, and that you have purpose, and that you are worth something, and that you are valuable. It's so important. You know, we have a very real enemy of our souls, you know, and he seeks to steal and destroy and to ruin our lives. You know, and he loves the fact that we will move and that we will operate out of that place of rejection, you know, because he knows it will injure our relationships. He knows it will injure and ruin our destiny and our future. You know, but God wants us to know that we are loved, that we are valuable, that we are significant, that we are so significant that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. Anyway, like I said, that's where I was then. And very quickly, I started to kind of, life just began to get more and more out of control. I was trying to run from myself. I started running away. I started trying to take my own life because I was so traumatized and I couldn't cope with what was going on. I didn't know how to process it. I had no reference. I had no way of just dealing with that stuff. And so I ended up going into the care system. And while I was there, I saw psychologists, I saw counselors, I saw all different manner of people. And I'm not saying they are all good and we need them. We need them. But I tell you, at that time for me, that wasn't the answer for me. It just kind of intensified my pain, left me feeling more confused than ever and just more desperate to run away from myself. I couldn't cope with bringing things up, you know, they would bring things up. And I just wasn't in a place where I was ready to deal with that stuff in the way that they wanted to deal with it. And so I'm not saying that they're not bad. I'm just saying for me, that wasn't the answer at the time. It was like they were just unraveling a load of stuff that just made life harder for me. And very quickly, I started to get involved with the wrong crowd, started to use soft drugs, really as a way of escapism, really, because the truth is I've been trying to escape myself all my life. You know, even as a child, I would daydream and I would do anything to escape my reality, to not be who I was. But the truth was I could never get away from me. You know, whatever I tried to escape into or whatever I tried to run, I always took me with me. And so very quickly, like I said, things just really started to begin to escalate out of control. And it's like that thing again where I said, you know, we all need to be loved. We all need to know that we're accepted and that we belong. And so really getting involved with those kind of people and gravitating towards that kind of scene gave me a sense of belonging, a sense of acceptance. I knew that's not what I wanted, but I just gravitated towards it anyway. Soon that really started to escalate out of control, and I just started to go on this road and this progressive destructive road in my addiction. I started to get involved in codependent relationships as well. You know, my lack of love meant that I overcompensated and got involved in dysfunctional relationships where I would be very codependent, or I would just pour out too much love, you know, or be too needy because of that need and that desire to be loved. My addiction just got worse and worse. I started off, like I said, on soft drugs. Then I went on to amphetamines. I developed an eating disorder. It was just one thing after the other. You know, it was just like this whole brokenness. Things just seemed to get worse and worse. And like I said, I started taking amphetamines. Before long, I was injecting. And, you know, this was fueling my need to lose weight and to escape my reality. I lived to party, raving, clubbing. I loved it. It was my way of escapism. You know, so there was also a part of my rebellious nature that was coming out there as well. And, you know, and I thought I was having a good time, but deep down I was just running and avoiding facing who I really was. And I was terrified of facing reality because the pain, I couldn't comprehend having to deal with that level of pain again. And that was the lie that the enemy had me running circles around in. And very quickly then, after about 5 years, they say that after using amphetamines for 5 years, you're kind of mentally insane, if you like. Clinically, you're written off. And so I've been doing this for 5 years. And then I moved on to heroin, I progressed on to heroin and then crack cocaine. So I was an addict for 19 years altogether, but 17 years really just flat out at it. And like I said, I went on to heroin. Wasn't long before I was injecting heroin. And my lifestyle just meant that I was out stealing, robbing every day. Getting arrested was an occupational hazard for me. Spending time in prison, spending time in the cells was just a way of life for me. Life just escalated completely out of control. And, you know, committing crime. It wasn't long before I ended up selling my body. And I started off in the brothels. And ironically, when I started selling my body, actually, I tried to give up the drugs for a short time. And I was actually clean when I started to sell my body but actually I had no sense of worth or no sense of value. And I was trying to make some of my life, you see, because I'd been in a rehab and I'd got clean. And I came out of rehab and I wrote to 240 charities to raise money to live a dream that had always been in my heart. And, you know, I really kind of really made every effort to get clean. And I raised the money to go to a private dance and fitness college. But you know what? I was white knuckling it. I was white knuckling it all the way. You know, the truth is that I was still carrying me with me. I was still carrying me with me. What I needed, okay, was not just a change of circumstances. I needed a change of heart. My heart was broken. I was messed up. And like I said, so that just fell by the wayside. And it, I just fell back into my addiction. And this time I moved on to crack cocaine. And it wasn't long then before I was living on the streets. I was on the streets for 6 years, moving from squat to squat, crack house to crack house. I want to tell you, it's by the grace of God, go I. I'm telling you now because there are many people I know that are not alive today. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. Now God kept his hand on me and kept me alive today. But I tell you, it's nothing short of a miracle. Our God is a God working, a miracle working God. And I want to tell you, anything is possible for him. I don't know what your situation is, what difficulties or challenges you face, but I want to tell you, my God is able. My God is able to meet you in your situation. He's able to meet you in your circumstances, and he's able to bring transformation to your situation, whoever you are. And that's what he did for me. It's what he did for me. Like I said, I was on the streets, you know, I'd be raped, I'd be led for dead, you know, nearly cut up, nearly shot up, you name it. I mean, it all just sounds now when I think about it, but that was my life then. And I was completely desensitized to the danger, really, because it was just my life. You know, it was what I was used to, and I accepted that, and that was it, and that was my lot. And so that was it, really. Like I said, in very, very codependent relationships, they become very, very violent. And, you know, we would batter each other and practically leave each other for dead. I mean, when I think about it, it's incredible what the human spirit can take. and what a human being can take when we look across the world and we see what people go through, you know, in all different situations, war zones, whatever it is that they face, you know, what the human spirit can actually endure. And, you know, all I know is really by the age of 33, I had come to the end of myself. I had come to the end of myself because, you see, in that time, I had tried over 30 times to get clean. You know, it wasn't like I didn't try. You know, I tried detoxes. I tried methadone. I tried moving abroad. You name it. I tried it. I did it on my own again and again. And it was hard. But I wanted it. You know, and I would go through these periods and I would just keep failing and keep failing. And I just got to the end of myself. The Bible says that without hope, the heart becomes sick. I tell you, my heart was sick, you know, and I'd always believed I'd make it. I could do it. You know, I could do it because I'd survived this long and I would make it one day. But I come to a point where I realized I couldn't fix myself. I was helpless and I was hopeless to do it in my own strength. And I remember I'd already been into this Christian rehab once, and basically what had happened, I collapsed at a project in St. Paul's. I was 5 stone. I collapsed on their doorstep. Any of you that know the nuns down in St. Paul's will know Rosie's about this high. And these little nuns, they dragged me up the hill 5 stone into this Christian rehab, but I didn't stay. But I tell you what, I was there for a short while and I knew there was something different about that place. I knew when I left there that I'd left something spiritual behind, but I never knew what it was. I never understood at that time. Many years later, the age of 33, I was arrested in Bristol, and I ended up in Victory Outreach. And I went to a meeting, and I heard the gospel. I heard the good news about Jesus Christ. Now, I tell you, I had met Christians in my life. I remember somebody telling me that Jesus loved me on the street. And I remember just breaking down and weeping. I couldn't take it. It was so powerful. It was so overwhelming that I was so broken. I couldn't cope with that kind of language. But I tell you, it left its mark on me. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, even when people don't respond, even when you don't see a result, keep speaking. Keep speaking life over them. Keep telling them about how much God loves them and what he did for them. Because I tell you what, one day the seed will begin to bear fruit. And that's what happened to me. So I went to this gospel meeting. I heard about how Jesus Christ died on the cross for me to forgive me of my sins. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, not one of us. But I, obviously, the level of sin I was in, I knew that I was a sinner. You didn't need to tell me that I was a sinner. I knew that I was a sinner. And this evangelist said, as he spoke over the mic, he said that God loves you. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son into the world, that whoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life, and life to its fullest. That's God's heart and intention for us. The abundant life. He isn't there to condemn us. He's there to restore us to the Father, because our sin separates us from God. It creates a barrier, because God is perfect, righteous, and just. And so I heard this gospel message, and I knew that Jesus had died for me. I didn't fully understand it, I admit. I didn't fully get it all, but I knew. And I just responded, ran to the front, and received Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. But I want to tell you, it didn't all change then, but there was a change that began. And I ended up going back into the rehab. I ended up leaving after a few weeks, and running back to my old life. Some had changed for sure, but the pull of my old way of life was just pulling at me. And I came back to Bristol. I ended up, within a month, ended up back in prison. What was ironic was I knew that month when I was out on the streets, I tell you what, I tried everything to get high. I tried everything to get high, and I couldn't get high anymore. The more I tried to use, it just seemed like the more sober I was getting, and it was just not having the same effect. I felt desperately tormented, and I knew that I needed to get back. I just knew it. And And I knew that one day I would be part of something in the future, back at that place. Well, anyway, by the grace of God, I was out on the street and I just had this warning in my spirit that I was going to die. I just knew it. If there wasn't a change, I was going to go and it was going to be cheap and it was going to be nasty and it was going to be hard. And I just knew. But that night I got arrested and I ended up back in prison. By the grace of God, the Victory Outreach, which was a Christian rehab that I was in, they heard about this and they offered me the opportunity to go back. It was a wrestle. I didn't want to go back, but I tell you what was amazing, that when I was in the prison, I was twoed up with a girl, and before you knew it, I was practically preaching at this girl, and I knew nothing about nothing. I didn't know anything, but I couldn't kind of stop myself, because you see, I'd invited the Lord Jesus into my heart, and so he was beginning a work, only it was taking me a while to catch up with what he was doing. And you know, I remember going to the chapel, and I would just remember having this righteous indignation towards somebody that was mocking God. I would never have had that before, so much so that I had to pull her when we came out of the chapel and correct her, which was just, when I look back, I think, wow, what was that? But anyway, by the grace of God, I went back to Victory Outreach, and I've got to really pedal this on. So I went back to Victory Outreach, and I tell you what, I'd made a decision for Jesus. Something had begun to happen in my life. But you see, I made a mistake, didn't I? I made a mistake and I ran back. I ran back to Bristol and I ended up back in prison. But I tell you what, God's hand was on me. You know, and you might feel like you have messed up. You might feel like, oh, I've messed up again. It's too late. I want to tell you, with God is never too late. He is committed to you every step of the journey. When he found you, you weren't perfect. You know, when he found me, I was filthy, dirty. I was a mess. The whole world had given up on me. In fact, I remember the founder of the rehabs took one look at me and said, "You'll never make it. She'll never make it." But I want to tell you, when everybody else says that you'll never make it, God says, "Yeah, yeah, watch this, watch this." And I went back to this rehab, and it was there that I had a personal encounter. A real personal encounter with God, my Father. I told you I was adopted. I never knew my real father. I go back into this rehab. I'd always had a longing. I love the way that Jesus speaks to us individually, that he knows us individually. Make no mistake, he knows everything about you. You know, you might think you're hidden and he can't see you, but he sees everything and he loves you. And I had this girl, give me what is called the Father's love letter. If you get a minute, look it up online. It's beautiful, full of scripture, full of the goodness of God, the love of God. And I started to read it, and it started to address me as his child. And it's just God. And he said, "I know you. I know everything about you. I know every hair that is numbered on your head. I know your thoughts from afar. I know your downsitting, your uprising. There's nothing that I don't see and that I don't know altogether about you. You know, wherever you go, wherever you flee, I am there. I am there." And as I read this, and I just knew in my heart that I had come home. I just knew that I had found the love that I had always been looking for. And I guess the thing I'd always been looking for, but I never knew up to that point that I was looking. But as I read that, it was like the missing piece of the jigsaw just came together. I couldn't explain it, but I knew it. And I went on to read, and God, as my father said, you know, Jesus was my perfect representation here on the earth. I sent Jesus to die in your place. He sent Jesus to die in your place for your sin, so that you could be reconciled to the Father, that you could know peace, that you could know forgiveness of sin. How many of you know? You know, we carry the weight of our sin, the guilt, the shame, the regret, the pain, the sorrow. You know, God doesn't want us to carry that baggage through life. And there he was saying to me, "You can lay it all down at the foot of the cross and you can have a fresh start if you would accept the free gift of my Son." And I tell you, with all of my heart, I asked Jesus into my heart and my life. And he came. He came in a moment. And I want to tell you, everything from that moment changed. Never to this day have I had a desire to pick up a needle or a pipe or any other drug again. Not a day in the last 10 years have I had one single desire. That was my miracle. I had tried over 30 times. I had tried in my own strength. I had tried to do it my way. I couldn't do it. I knew that God was real. Nobody could tell me me that he wasn't real, because I knew the power of that at work in my life. I experienced a peace, a joy, a love that the world can't give you, that your family can't give you, that relationships can't give you, that transcends everything. You couldn't give me £1 million right now to trade what I've got, because I have got the most precious thing in Christ, and he wants you to have that tonight. And that's me, and I know I'm hurtling now because we've got to finish at 8 o'clock. And I've spent quite a lot of time going through that journey. But what's amazing is that, you know, when you come to Christ, old things are passed away. You know, I got to leave all that old baggage, all that pain, all that suffering, all that sin. I tell you, when I gave my life to Jesus, I felt clean. I felt pure. Even to this day, I feel like a virgin. You say, how is that possible? Because the power of God has a power to cleanse us from all sin. I know that I stand before him pure and clean because of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for me. And just incredible. And it's just been a journey ever since. I tell you what, when you surrender your life to God, he'll take it all. He'll take it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And he'll use every part. You know, God is able to work all things together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purposes. And I believe he's calling you tonight. You know, you might not feel like he's got his eye on you, but I want to tell you, he's got his eye on you, and he loves you. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. You know, I went on crazy. I couldn't manage my little finger. You know, and I went on to manage the girls' home for 5 years. I got to go into prisons, share my story, bring broken people home, love them back to life, introduce them to Jesus, the one that could set them free and give them a fresh start and set them on a new path. I've seen lives transformed and changed. I've lived with miracles, living miracles every day. And what's wild is, you know, it doesn't stop with Jesus. It just gets better. You know, and just this whole healing process. You know, I had to learn to forgive other people. I had to learn to love myself. I had to learn to let go. There was a radical encounter, but there was a journey. You know, there's a journey that he wants to take us on, because he is continually making all things new. You've never arrived. You've never got it all together. He's always wanting to do a new thing. And I tell you, I went on then after 5 years, God called me to Bible college. I was like, no, you gotta be joking. You know, I mean, my grammar was terrible. Still not great. But I have graduated with a 2.1, only to the glory of God. I tell you what, by the grace of God and the glory of God. And I really want to make sure these guys get their opportunity to be here at 8 o'clock. And it's like 7:57. So we want them to be up here to do the countdown. And yeah, so that's just a little bit of my journey. There's so much more, you can imagine. There's so much more. But I want to say there's so much more for you. You know, I mean, you've heard my story. But, you know, Jesus is for everybody. You know, and I just quickly, I don't know if you all know Jesus in this place tonight. But what I do know is that he knows you. He knows you. Make no mistake, he knows you. He knows your name. He sees. He sees everything. Nothing is hidden from him. And he desires right now that you will come home. That you will come home. And I just want to quickly give you an opportunity before I close. I've got about a minute. But you know, there may be somebody in here today, you've never said yes to Jesus. And it's time. It's time. It's time to say yes to Jesus. He gave everything on the cross for you. He gave everything. All he's doing tonight is inviting you to receive the life that he died to give you. So I'm just going to quickly count to three. And I'm going to just ask you, if that's you and you want to give your life to Jesus, or maybe you need to re-surrender. Maybe you've made a decision, but you've not fully surrendered. And this is your night. This is your opportunity. And so while I'm just going to ask everyone to quickly bow their heads, close their eyes, not to look around. This is an important moment. This is a significant moment, a life-changing moment that could change your life and your destiny forever. I mean, no mistake, God intended for you to have an abundant life, not to survive. Yes, you. So on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you, if you know you need to say yes to Jesus, this is your opportunity. One, you can do that, sorry, by raising your hand and then just quickly take it down, and we can pray for you. It's just to acknowledge before God that you want to make that decision. So one, two, three. I'm just going to ask you to slip. Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? You know that you need to give, thank you. You know that you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to come home. You need to come home. Now's your time. Bless you. Well, Father, I thank you for these precious people, Lord, who have said yes to you in their hearts. Guys, we want to pray for you afterwards. We're going to hand over to the team now. I'm sorry to have to kind of be quick about this moment, but we would love to pray for you. We really want to pray for you. Please don't go without speaking to one of the leadership here or myself. We really would love to pray for you. It's the greatest decision that you will ever make, is to accept Jesus Christ into your heart and your life as your Lord and your Savior. So please don't go without giving us an opportunity to pray for you. Thank you, guys. God bless you. And let's invite the guys and Philip, because he can now open his mouth, so he can come on up and share.